Hi there, Junior Detectives, it's Regan here. The audio in this episode is, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, a bit shit, because the hotel I was in was beautiful and minimalist and echoey as hell. Unfortunately, that is the price we pay for trying to record on the road, but I hope you enjoy it regardless. Lloyd out.
Welcome to the Mystery Twins Detective Agency. I am Liam S. Smith, and when the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's a mystery.
I'm Regan Lloyd, and 2016 is terrible, so much like today's show, I am feeling both sleepy and hollow.
Damn, that's good.
Thank you.
Oh my god, how have you been? Other than, let's not talk about world affairs, but how have you been?
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm doing very well. I'm currently in Glasgow, so if you hear traffic noise, that's because my apartment is right next to a big road.
Ah, those loud, loud Glaswegians.
Yeah, it's been very fun. I've been here for the Festival of Burlesque, which finished yesterday, so now I'm having a day to chill out.
Okay, now did the Burlesque Festival have anything to do with the bagpipes that were stopping us from recording yesterday?
No, that was a Memorial Day thing.
Oh.
I wish that there had been.
No bagpipe burlesque?
No.
That's something to add to your portfolio.
Oh, absolutely.
Braveheart theme or something?
I think someone did do that for the Miss Burlesque Western Australia this year.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
They can take our clothes, but they'll never take our freedom.
There were a lot of sing-alongs to Scottish songs. Mm-hmm.
What are some Scottish songs?
Well, there was obviously 500 Miles.
Oh, yes.
There's another one that I learned a lot of the words to because we did a sing-along, audience sing-along every night. I think it's just called Dignity, but it's about buying a ship called Dignity. So there was an audience interaction bit, which I didn't know what the words were because the host had a very strong accent. So when she was right.
It's
okay,
dignity, Luann. It's dignity.
You've all got to yell, Hademama! And I was like, so on the third night, I realized it was, I saved my money.
Ah.
But it's really fun yelling stuff out in a Scottish accent.
Ironically, after three nights of being there and paying to get in.
Well, no, I didn't pay. I got a performer pass.
I'm doing goof.
Well, I just wanted to talk about how fancy I am having a perform pass because it's my first festival. I was very excited.
Yeah, very nice.
Yes, so that's what I've been doing, just hanging out in some cool Glasgow night spots. What about you? Cool. Let's talk about you.
Nothing interesting for me, just finishing off my paper, which is due as of this recording time 4 days from now.
Oh my God, how you feeling?
So good, good. I'm going to get it done, but that's not particularly interesting, so let's move on.
All right.
What did we watch today on this night of the supermoon?
Well, we watched the second episode of Sleepy Hollow, aptly titled Blood Moon.
Hmm. So this is the first of what we're calling our Teeves Case File episodes, where we're picking up a show that we watched in our previous podcast, Teeves. You may notice that immediately before this in the podcast feed, we've put that episode in. Just so if you are a completionist and you want to see what we thought of the first episode, it's there, even if it is in a different format.
Completionist is a great word. Did you make that up or is it a real thing?
No, that's a real word.
Hmm.
I think a handful of the ones that we, of the Teeves episodes that we recorded on mystery shows, which will be the only ones we come back to, or cop shows, I guess, unfortunately suffered from some bad audio problems. But so I'll understand if any of the more casual listeners out there are disinclined to listen to them, but if you do want to hear what we think about the first episode, they have some of our best banter from that show, which is why we started doing this show.
Exactly. Yeah, don't listen to the rest of Teeves. It was primarily
garbage.
Oh, it
has its moments. It's about learning to make a podcast.
It is. It is. All right.
All right. So, episode two, Blood Moon.
So, basically, what happened in episode one, if you can't be bothered listening to the whole Teeves episode, Ichabod Crane wakes up in the modern day.
In the small town of Sleepy Hollow after dying in the American Revolutionary War.
His wife is a witch who has bound him with blood to the Headless Horseman so that when one of them wakes up, the other one will wake up. Headless Horseman's trying to bring back all the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And Ichabod,
of which he is one.
Oh, yeah, the Headless Horseman. I thought you meant Ichabod Crane. Yeah. I was like, no, he's not. So Ichabod Crane has to team up with a sassy lady detective to stop him.
Abby Mills, I think her name is.
It is indeed. I wrote it down.
Yes, I wasn't sure of her surname. I knew her first name. Yeah, so, you know, that's pretty basic sort of light sci-fi cop show fare.
Yeah. So our persons of interest for this show, we have Tom Milson as Ichabod Crane. He does not seem to have done much else television and film-wise, but he is a notable English stage actor.
Okay, he is actually English, because I thought a couple of times that his accent sounded like the accent American actors do when they're trying to do English accents.
Yeah, no, according to IMDb, he is English.
Okay.
Then we have Nicole Beharie playing Lieutenant Abby Mills. Again, nothing I recognised on her IMDb.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then our less than protagonist characters. We have Katja Winter as Katarina Crane, Ichabod's dead witch wife.
She's trapped in a world between worlds or something like that.
Yeah, something.
It turns out she was a witch the whole time she knew him, but he never knew that, but she knew.
And then she got murdered for witchcraft,
or did she? Yeah, it seems like there's a pretty hefty time investment involved in being a witch. If you have to go and do things based on the cycles of the moon and stuff. Maybe she was just claiming Shark Week.
Yeah. Just no, that's why I'm tracking the moon cycles. That's what I mean by blood moon. Ha 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 ha.
Good we made that joke. We don't need to make it again. Now the rest of the episode is free from that dark curse.
Yeah, that's the one and only period joke I will make in this episode. Anyway,
I mean, the flashbacks in this are really kind of a period piece.
I'm trying to tell you about what Katja Winter has done. She was Nadia in Dexter for a story arc. If anyone watches that, no.
Yep.
Then we've also got John Cho as Andy Brooks.
Now, I've seen him in things, but at the moment it escapes me he's been. Was he Harold and/or Kumar?
He was Harold and/or Kumar. I have just written down Harold and Kumar and not which one he was.
Great. He's good in things I've seen him in.
Was it him that did the campaign where he put himself in all of the rom-com, not just rom-com, all of the movie posters highlight how Asian actors never get roles?
I don't know, but that sounds like a good campaign.
I will look it up. Not now, but I will look it up later and tell you. And then we've also got Clancy Brown as Sheriff Corbin.
R.I.P.
His most notable role, I'm going to tell you right now, he's the voice of Mr. Krabs.
Ooh, hello.
I know. Done a lot of voice work, but that's the best one.
Okay, cool. Do you know if he was in Carnival?
The creepy ABC, BBC series?
I think it was HBO, but...
Oh, was it? Oh. Yeah. Let me check.
Because he looks a bit like... I've only watched one episode of that, but he looks like what I remember the evil preacher in that looking like.
Oh, he was also in The Shawshank Redemption, apparently, so...
Oh, so he really redeemed himself. No, if he wasn't, it doesn't matter.
Oh, no, I'm still scrolling. He does a lot of shit. I'm only on 2014.
Okay, I have Googled Clancy Brown Carnival, and he was.
Good job, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
Headless Horseman conspicuously absent from this episode.
I did think initially that John Cho was the Headless Horseman when his head is bent back.
Yeah, same.
But then he righted himself, and I was like, oh, no, it's John Cho.
Hey, I recognise you. Weren't you Harold or Kumar?
Yeah, listen, we watched the first episode 6 months ago, probably. So
it's hardly complex plot-wise, though.
No, I know, but I've forgotten what happened to him, but he's turned evil.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, he was always evil. He just hit it well. He doesn't seem to enjoy being evil, though, which I guess is a point in his favour. He complains a lot.
He does, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry that I'm setting wheels in motion to have you killed, little boy. Anywho, back to digging this hole and hating it.
Basically. I was really worried they were going to legitimately murder a child on this show.
I'm not surprised they didn't, but they got awful close to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I guess we should start.
Let's.
We start in an elaborate dream sequence as Ichabod Crane is running away from four horsemen, and the camera is upside down for a little bit. It's like the ringwraiths are chasing him, but he's doing a pretty good job of outrunning the horses on feet.
That's good, because he's the protagonist and he can't die.
This episode had a lot of things in common with the first episode of Supernatural, I found.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
And so much like in that, where they did a really good job of outrunning their car, he did a really good job of outrunning these nightmares.
In a fight between a nightmare and a car, who would win?
Well, the nightmare is kind of an intangible concept, and a car is a car. So let's go with the nightmare.
Yeah, also, I think definitely the nightmare, because the nightmare can literally become anything. It's like a boggart.
Yeah, I was about to say that, like a boggart.
Ugh, we are so...
Expelliarmus.
Exactly.
Ridiculous, that's what I was trying to fool.
Yeah, so he's in a dream. Katarine is there.
A tree traps him and starts eating him with his roots, and he falls into a crypt, and then Katrina's there.
Oh, there you go.
Watch out for those trees that are actually, I guess, helping you, because it pulls you down to your dead wife. He gets dragged to hell. It's all basic horror stuff.
Yeah, well, not hell, the other world.
Yeah. So she's there, and she's like, she recapped basically the plot of the first episode. You've been charged to a higher purpose, Ichabod. Of course, I need to stop the four horsemen, because they're going to unleash the apocalypse, but they need help. So monsters of the week are going to come, and you need to fight them.
And this week's monster is one of us. What do you mean, one of us? And then she disappears.
And a spooky zombie woman comes at him and he wakes up.
Thus, we know that a spooky zombie woman will be responsible for this week's deaths.
It was very sort of Japanese horror little girl ghost, the way she came at him, where she was crawling along the ceiling and moving unnaturally, like jerkily / fastly. Quick.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
So yeah, she'll be there with the new blood moon. Watch out, she's a witch. Gotta stop her before she kills again.
But we don't know she's a witch yet.
No, but it's pretty obvious.
Well, yes. They really did spoon feed that to you in this episode. Because next we are... Ichabod wakes up.
He's not allowed to leave the little
shack.
House he lives in. Yeah, shack, house, demountable.
He's been detained because he was a suspect in a murder... of the sheriff?
Yeah, murder... Yeah, of Sheriff Corbin. Played by Clancy Brown, a.k.a. Dr. Krabs.
So, he wants to talk to Abby. Abby's at work, arguing with her boss about Ichabod.
This guy's still not evil, though he is constantly given, like, a suspicious cut.
Yeah, not evil, just not 100% on their side.
No, he's a bureaucrat.
Yeah, so,
So we found out that the other two cops who got in a gunfight with the Headless Horseman have recanted their testimony because they're scared.
Scared of looking like liars.
Sure, yeah. And also of ghosts.
Oh, I thought it was because he was like, well, what do you think that's going to sound like to other people?
Probably that too.
So now it's just Abby all on her lonesome.
Yeah. And they have a look. She's like, but we put Andy in prison for being evil, and then 5 minutes later something got in there and broke his neck 180 degrees, snapping his head around. And they go and look at the security camera, and it shows him running at the mirror that was broken when he was in the cell when Moloch showed up and did his thing. He runs at the mirror, shattering it in the process, and that somehow 180 degrees breaks his neck.
Of course it does. That makes perfect sense.
He put a real good amount of spin on his run.
Yeah. Couldn't have been a ghost, must have just been his sweet moves.
This is all sort of intercut. So the captain recounts Ichabod's psych evaluation and how he's delusional, because how could he possibly have come from the past? That's insane. And this is sort of intercut with scenes of Ichabod playing with future tech.
Like a light switch and a shower.
Someone's left post-it notes around the house being like, light on, light off, shower on, shower off. He watches Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
He does, there's an ape that riding scene a horse.
Yeah, and at first it's cut, so maybe it's like, ooh, is the Headless Horseman coming out of the television? But no, it's just a movie.
Yeah, it's fun.
You know, these are good fish out of water bits.
Yeah.
There's one scene later on where we eat some donut holes and they're having a really serious conversation, but it keeps being like, these are good.
And then he also gets outraged about how much they cost and the fact that you have to pay tax.
I think that was a different meal, but yeah. He was like, $4.90 for baked goods plus a 10% tax? In my day, we wouldn't stand for this. People would be rioting in the streets.
Oh, what complacency can do to you.
But I guess they didn't have inflation when he came from.
Well, yeah.
He's an educated man. He should understand basic economic theory.
Yeah, he's apparently a Cambridge professor.
Oxford.
Whatever. Same.
Anywho, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
We are, yes.
So they argue about whether or not they're going insane, how they hated this. And then we cut to the morgue as Andy's body bag bursts open because he's not dead anymore.
No, he's been brought back to life by the weird ram ghost evil.
Moloch,
there you go.
Yep. His head rights itself, and then he spews up an amulet.
And then they exchange some words in demon language.
Probably Latin or something.
It's not subtitled, but you get the gist that it's evil.
Well, he does, Andy does the thing that people in TV shows do when someone else is speaking another language or when they're on the telephone, where they're like, oh, so you're saying I should go and raise the dead to do your dark bidding.
Oh, okay. Glad we cleared that up.
What do you mean I've come back alive because my work isn't finished?
Yeah, that's basically that whole scene.
And then we get the opening credits 10 minutes in.
Yes. Again, it was one of those things where I was like, oh, I didn't even realize we hadn't had the opening credits because...
No, I thought it was just going to be like Supernatural. It was just a cut to the titles and I just overlooked it.
It basically was though, wasn't it?
There was like a decent like amount of musical track and there were shots of like dark trees and the passage of time from colonial times to nowadays.
I didn't have that. I just had like a title screen.
Oh, okay. I had the whole nine yards.
Oh, that's an American Amazon football Prime. Joke. Yeah.
So they're talking about how Katrina and Ichabod met after like the big old witch trials got underway. So that's why she wouldn't have told him he was a witch. She was a witch because I choose to believe that she kept the truth from me to protect me and herself and the fate of the entire country.
Like, got tickets on yourself there a bit, mate.
And that's when he gets angry about baked goods and that conversation kind of peters out.
Yeah, that's basically it. Like, Abby's pressing him a lot, which basically it looks like they put in there just so later he can ask her about her love life and be like...
So, Regan, I have two questions for you just on this note.
Yeah.
Will they? And second question, won't they?
I think they won't. Because his dead wife is such a presence in the
show. Oh, yeah, shit,
show.
He's married.
So I feel like she'll somehow come out of the other world and come...
But she possesses Abby.
Interesting twist.
Ichabod has to have inner turmoil. Am I loving her because she's my wife or because she is my partner? Witness who is going to go through 7 years of trials and tribulations with me. How could I have a closer bond with anyone but that person?
I mean, that's a good point. Yeah, no, I think something's going to happen and his wife will come into the modern day as well.
Probably, yeah.
Because there's like 7 seasons of this show or something.
I think it's 3.
What?
I think there's 3.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's more than that.
Because I'm pretty sure at the time we recorded our previous episode, there were only 2. And the second one wasn't as good as the first, apparently.
Ah, all right. Oh, yeah, no, it is 3. Sorry, my apologies.
Yeah, yeah. So they go to Corbin's funeral and Abby flashes back to his death and cries and Ichabod has a moment with his wife's grave.
Ah,
which has
yes.
an all-seeing eye on it because, like, witches and the Illuminati and shit.
Yeah, and then he wipes off the dust, sees that she was burned for being a witch and is like, aha.
One of us. She's trying to tell me that witches are back.
Yeah, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I figured that out. Like,
immediately.
Immediately, yeah.
So then it's nighttime and Andy goes...
have my smarts.
Yeah, I guess you're a much better inter-era detective than Ichabod ever would be.
Exactly.
So it's nighttime and Andy goes to the church and puts the amulet on like a plinth and then fire happens and then the zombie ghost girl from his dream shows up.
Yep. So she is burned. Burned as a burnt sausage.
Yep, like a ginger at the beach.
Hey.
Ginger spice.
Yep.
But she's really more of a scary spice when you get down to it.
Hey-o!
I don't know what I'm doing. He tells her that Moloch told him to tell her that the ashes of the pious will ordain your resurrection. Take their flesh and you'll reclaim yours. And I don't know why he's telling her that, because as we later learn, she's the one who made that pronouncement initially.
That's a good point.
I mean, obviously it's so that we, the audience, know, but from an in-universe perspective, that's very redundant.
Yeah, you make a very valid point there.
Oh, also, Andy has, like, weird, gross, broken neck skin now.
Yeah, he does. Which...
Because his whole head was, like, on his back before, so now that it's been put back, it's all loose.
But also, like, when he pulls over the dude in the next scene, there's a guy driving and he gets pulled over by Andy, that's basically all I've skipped over. The dude is like, what happened to you? Are you okay? What happened to your neck? Like, sir, don't go asking someone about their weird neck folds. He's probably very self-conscious about it.
And it could just be like a thing that he lives with, you know? Like, exactly. None of your business.
Yeah. Fucking mind your manners.
So he pulls over this guy called Jeremy Firth and is like, "Is your name Jeremy Firth?" And the guy's like, "Yeah." And then he's like, "Great, you're going to die. Bye."
Don't take it personally, Jeremy Firth.
Yep. Ta-ta. Jeremy can't start his car again, and the radio starts playing, and then the witch is in front of the car, then on top of the car, and then he bursts into flames. It's all very supernatural.
It is, but also they start playing Witchcraft by Frank Sinatra, which is funny.
Yeah, that is funny. I laughed a lot.
The way that you said that makes me think that you actually didn't.
That's right.
I didn't laugh a lot, but I was like, eh.
Yeah, it was all right. There are worse ways to do... There are worse implementations of that joke, if you want to call it a joke.
Exactly.
Did you say egg-jackly?
Listen, I think I might have. I didn't mean to.
Can we get playback?
No. Let's just move on from the fact that I can't speak, apparently.
Hi, my name's egg-jackly. I'm here to collect the remains of my brother, Humpty.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, it's a grim saga.
Absolutely. Yeah, so this dude dies.
Yep. Then it's daytime again, basically.
Yeah, then does it go straight to the kid?
No, now Ichabod and Abby are talking about, like, how she's mourning for Corbin. And then she tells her story about how...
her tragic backstory.
Yeah, which so we actually got much sooner than I expected to.
Yes. So what we've also learned in the first episode of the show is that she and her sister saw something in the woods.
Moloch, basically.
And then her sister...
and a bunch of creepy trees. If you recall, she was driven insane by the sight of creepy trees.
Ah, yes. Yeah, so her sister's sort of out of the picture.
For now.
Yeah.
Dun dun. And then she really went off the rails and started doing drugs and, like, seeing a bad guy. And they were breaking into a pharmacy one night and when Sheriff Corbin showed up and the guy ran away. But Corbin took her to the diner and ordered apple pie.
And was like, you know what my favourite bit of the apple pie is? Apple pie a la mode. When the crunchy crust and the smushy ice cream are all together. But in 5 minutes, that ice cream's going to melt and then we're leaving. What the fuck, Corbin?
What? What about a crossover of this episode with American Pie?
Oh, I was going to say Pushing Daisies. Because that would have been better.
So, my joke is crass and gross, where the idea is he's going to fuck a pie for 5 minutes.
Yeah, and my idea is, like, fun mystery. Oh, fuck, we should do Pushing Daisies. That's a mystery show.
We should do Pushing Daisies. Yes. That is a mystery show.
Going on the list.
Nice. Anywho, moving on from my dumb joke and your better one.
Yes.
So she turns her life around there and becomes a police officer. Then we actually get some police activity in this episode as Charlie 101 radios in because they found a crime scene.
What was the crime scene?
It was Jeremy Firth.
Oh, fuck, of course. Yeah,
charred up body and car.
I was like, was there a third one in between those that I missed? But no.
So they go there and Ichabod is just allowed to wander around the crime scene because he's
and
not
poke
a cop.
Stuff, which is wrong.
Yeah, he doesn't have a very good understanding of modern forensic techniques.
Absolutely not.
He goes and, like, examines the charred body and is like, someone has scraped ash out of this guy's chest because look at these claw marks. It's like they collected something.
Yeah, because it was something to do with the fact that, like, it didn't cave in when you pushed it, but I didn't understand.
I missed that.
Yeah, he said something like, you can tell that they took it because of the thing, and I was like, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. And he's like, I think I know who did this. That's not how he talks, but that's how I'm going to do him. He tells this flashback story about how last time there was a blood moon in his time, he and his army team were returning to camp and all these dudes were burnt up. And then they saw a mysterious presence in the woods and it was a creepy woman with black eyes. And these murders kept happening.
Holy shit!
It's a witch. Her name's Cerilda of Abaddon.
Yes, that is something about Romanov is Anastasia.
Cerilla.
Yeah.
And Abaddon is a phrase from the Bible, which refers to both a place of destruction and the name of an angel, but it's commonly being co-opted in pop culture to refer to demons and stuff.
Yes.
They want to go check out Corbin's files because he had all these crazy conspiracy files about stuff in the town.
Oh, yeah. So they can't get there because it's restricted access, but her boss isn't picking up his phone.
So she's like, I'll go contact him, and leaves Ichabod literally just, like, touching a fluorescent light.
Yeah, that was weird. Like,
but then... Go on.
It's not important. Go on. No, it's fine.
No, do it.
No, I was going to say, I thought he was, like, checking if that the paperwork had been stashed in the lights. And then I was like, that would be a crazy fire hazard.
I think he was just playing with modern tech.
That does make more sense, yeah.
Because you have to remember, he comes from a simpler time where they didn't have fluorescent lights. It's probably very loud to him.
Oh, that's a good point.
And don't we just want to get back to that simpler time when things were easier? Because technology really makes life a lot harder, doesn't it?
Not when you are doing forensics, it doesn't.
Or in general, despite what A Current Affair or Today Tonight would have you believe.
Ugh, yeah.
So then Luke, Abby's ex, who is also a cop, comes to bother him and is like, he finally gets it and starts lying about being a history professor from Oxford.
Yes, that was a weird lie to pick, sir, but all right.
I mean, it means he's well-educated in the thing he's lying about.
That's a good point.
And he's like, oh, I'm from Oxford and I specialise in the Revolutionary War. And then that guy's like, must suck teaching about a war where we kicked your asses, huh?
And he's like, oh, really? I didn't think you were there.
Oh, are you from my time too? Let's go get some brewskis, friend. And he's like, I wasn't. I was deployed to Iraq. What war did you fight in, huh? You supporting our troops?
And that's when Abby walks in and interrupts him.
Yeah. And then as they're doing the next bit, Ichabod is like needling her, being like, so why did you guys break up? Oh, because you're going to the FBI. But then you didn't go to the FBI. So why aren't you back together? Hmm? Will we? Won't we?
Give me all your secrets.
And he's like, you know, you kept asking me things about Katrina. So, you know, turnabout is fair play.
Yeah, which now, like, that was a point where I was like, oh, that's why you put that scene in about Katrina.
Yeah. So they want to get into this record room because they can't, as you said earlier. So Ichabod's like, let's go down to the basement and I'll smash a hole in the wall to take you to secret revolutionary supply tunnels.
Yeah. So she's like, you can't smash a hole in the wall. Now,
he's like, can't I? Oh, yeah.
My beef with that, though, was like, I'm just going to gloss past that terrible joke you made. if it's a secret tunnel that they've boarded up, smashing it open, that means everyone can use it. Now it's not a secret anymore. Because they're going to be like, who smashed a hole in our interrogation room? What?
Just put like a poster of like a pin-up girl over it or something.
Yeah, it's like a prison break.
Very Shawshank Redemption.
Well, I mean, Clancy Brown is involved.
It is.
Yep.
What? Okay.
Because he was in the Shawshank Redemption.
I know. Okay. But I said it's late and that really threw me because that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I said it is. Fuck. Anywho, they go through this secret tunnel and there's rats in it and there's like, ooh, that tunnel there has witch bones in it. I'm sure that won't ever be relevant.
Absolutely.
And here's
not.
Some black powder from the war. Does it expire? I hope not. Why do I still have an old oil lantern when Abby has a torch?
Valid point.
Yeah. These are the questions, Regan.
Yeah, so basically they've got to stop her before she gets to the Blood Moon. So she's going to get more bones. Nope. Blood.
Ashes.
Ashes. Yeah. From the descendants of a judge.
Yeah, the magistrate Robert Daniel Firth.
Now, why him? I was unclear on that.
I guess because he sentenced her to death, and you know, you got to pick someone.
So there's
It was Ernest Scared Stupid, where the evil troll wanted to take the descendants of the people who sealed him away and turn them into dolls that would let him resurrect his people.
Yep.
That movie scared the bejesus out of me, and it was not a good comedy movie.
I do not know what you're talking about.
As a child. There's a really, like, middling franchise of American comedy movies called like Ernest Scared Stupid, Ernest Goes to Jail, etc.
Okay. All right, yep.
And I've only seen that one. So it was this troll, and if he grabbed you, you would turn into like a wooden doll.
Right.
And he would put you in a tree and use you to revive his people who looked like Alf but scarier.
Oh god. That sounds horrifying. I don't want that.
It scared me as a kid, but it's probably really lame. Meanwhile, Andy goes up to this kid and is like, "Hey kid, you shouldn't run out into the road like that because you might get hurt. What would your dad think?" And he's like, "My dad's dead." Sorry to hear that. What's your name, kid? I'm a cop, you can tell me.
I did not put it together that his dad had just died. I just thought that was one of those weird things kids say.
His dad hadn't just died.
I thought his dad was...
No, he is the ancestor of Magistrate Firth's daughter, who married into the Hemington family.
All right then, don't fucking worry. That was just a weird thing kids say.
There are no coincidences. That's why later they had his dad's ashes on the mantelpiece.
I thought they just scooped him out of the car.
They but touched him and he fell into a pile of ash and they just sort of hoovered that up.
Yeah, but I guess she would have needed those because she already had them because she clawed something out of him.
Yeah.
Cool. So, basically this is the bit where we were definitely sure that a child was going to get murdered on the second episode of this show.
I was pretty sure they weren't because who kills kids in TV shows? But yeah, that's what they're definitely going for.
Oh, God. I felt the same way. Like, surely they're not going to do it. But I was very worried they would.
And so he's like, what's your name, kid? My name's Kyle, surname. And he says,
No, he doesn't nice say, name. He doesn't say your surname. So evil John Cho is like, tell me your surname.
You can tell he's evil because he has a goatee. And that's how you won't get him confused with the John Cho from this dimension.
He's like, you tell me your name. And the kid looks understandably scared. And he's like, you can tell me I'm a cop. So he's like, oh, my name's Bob, whatever his name was.
I'm a cop. You have to tell me I'm a cop.
And then he's like, tell me your surname. I have to hear it. That's creepy as fuck, dude.
Yeah. And he's just being like generally kind of intimidating the whole time.
Yeah. Like, no, sir, stop.
It's a nice name. I'm sorry it had to be yours. Leaves. Maybe then you tell your mum and she calls like the actual police about he stole a police car at the start of this episode, and I'm surprised that no one noticed that.
Yeah, before the sheriff's funeral he just gets into the sheriff car and drives away.
I mean, these are assets that the company would keep track of. Like, you would probably have to sign them out or something.
Surely that's anyway, apparently not, because no one fucking talks about it.
Whatever. The other gang learn this thing is going to happen. They need to stop Cylindria or whatever her name is from taking their bones.
Then we have a creepy montage of the kid being scared. There was a cat, which for a while I thought was maybe the witch as a cat.
But very McGonagall.
Could have also just been a cat because cats are terrifying.
So he's looking for his mum late at night and he goes downstairs and the front door's open. Oh, better close that. But then gasp, she's behind him.
She being the witch, not his mum.
Yeah. And then we cut to his mum in the bath and he screams and she comes downstairs just as Abby bursts in and like the mum looks like she's ready to pop Abby and she's like, whoa, I'm a cop.
Yeah. And then they find the kid and the kid's fine.
Yeah. There was a shot briefly before of Cyrilda holding him up like by the neck, very Darth Vader. But now she's gone and he's like, I saw a woman who looked like she was on fire. And his mum's like, shh, no, you didn't. Shh, that's dumb.
Yeah, that was a bit mean. She's like, you were scared before you went to bed. You're just dreaming. It's fine.
There's no reason for you to be scared. I mean, the police just burst into our house and said you were in danger. But no, that's fine.
That's true, so, actually. That is...
She's very relaxed considering everything that just happened.
Yeah.
So then they figure out that Kyle isn't the last living Hemington. Because he was adopted. So that means his dad was. And his dad's ashes aren't on the... on the mantelpiece anymore.
As Ichabod astutely notices, he's just like, whoa, is there something missing from this mantelpiece? Like, how did you know, dog?
He's very well trained in interior design.
Maybe there was like a dust ring around it because she's a harried single mother who doesn't have time for dusting.
Yeah.
But they didn't tell us that.
It's got time for late night baths, though.
Yeah, I did think that was weird, because like a bath
it's important to have leisure time.
But a bath is such an indulgent thing, and like if you've got a small child who was afraid before they went to bed, surely you'd be like, oh, just not...
Was he afraid before he went to bed, though?
Yeah, she says that to him when she's like, you're being dumb. She's like, you were scared before you went to bed. Which, fair enough, because a creepy policeman came up to him during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Also, he was sleeping right next to his window with... like, no blind on it or anything. And that is a really good recipe for getting a kid spooked.
Also for, like, having a kid who wakes up at fucking 5 a.m. because you didn't put a blockout blind in his room.
Early to bed, early to rise, son. Yeah. Gotta get back outside and keep training for the soccer match in small town America.
I was gonna make a joke about him being a farmer.
Ah.
Gotta get up with the sun to milk them cows, boy.
So they declare that they have to go and burn her bones, which is very supernatural, the show. That's like the thing they do every episode.
But also, why do they have to burn her bones? Because she's looking for burnt bones. I don't understand.
They need to burn her bones before she can use them to come back to life, because apparently she is a ghost and not a zombie this whole time.
What?
If she has no bones, she can't merge with her bones and come back, right? Which is what she does.
So they need to find her bones in the pile of all of the witch bones. With no teeth to check against. That's silly.
So, meanwhile, down in the tunnels, Andy is digging and complaining about having to dig up witch bones, and for some reason, Cirilla knows where her body is buried, even though she was dead the whole time. She's a ghost. I'm sure she has a ghost power.
Yeah, definitely. So, basically, she settles her fucking zombie body down over some bones.
Yep, they show up. The good guys show up.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yes, they do, yes.
The bad guys hear it and they're like, oh, let's hide. And then Abby gives Ichabod a gun and is like, do you know how to use a gun? Just aim and pull the trigger. And he says, yes, I remember how to use a firearm, thank you.
Surely they work differently, though.
Yeah, I was really hoping he would try to shoot her, but the safety would be on.
Yeah, it seems weird that, like, I don't know about guns, but surely modern guns are...
Well, as we learn later, he didn't realise it held more than one bullet, so that's something.
Yeah, that's true.
They split up and go looking for clues, because that's always what they do in these situations. Andy briefly stalks Abby, but nothing comes of that.
Yeah, no, that's just a side plot, but not even a side plot. Just like I don't know.
some dumb bullshit.
Some dumb bullshit.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so the witch just, like, settles her ass down on some fucking bones.
And then she's a living person again.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, these aren't my bones.
They didn't do it before the blood moon. Oh, no.
These are dog bones.
Now I'm a puppy. Woof, woof.
You guys want to go hang out, go for some walks?
Yeah.
The end. No, so they didn't do it. Surely everything's going to get really bad now because the bad guys completed their ritual.
Absolutely, because that's exactly what Ichabod's wife told us about.
Yeah. They've won. It's over, right? Surely.
Yeah, so guess we're going
to... Ichabod tries to shoot her. She catches the bullet, then he runs away, and she chases them really ineffectually.
Well, I mean, if you just got your body back after just being a sack of ash, you're probably not used to like having to run around with that much body weight.
I guess so, yeah.
Of course, then, you're going to be ineffective.
As they round a corner and meet up again, suddenly Ichabod has like a Lord of the Rings-style burning torch in his hand.
Yeah, he probably stole it out of the old-timey... How did he light it? I don't know. I didn't write the show. Don't ask me.
So she corners them and reveals that Katrina was the one who bound her before. Oh, no. And then he throws the torch into the gunpowder they talked about there being there earlier, but it doesn't work until it does. And then they explode the evil witch, and that was really easy.
Yeah. I did like when it didn't work, though. He's like, get down, and throws his torch on the gunfire, and then it just sort of fizzles out. And he's like, god damn it.
It'd be good if he just missed.
It would be, but also no, it wouldn't, because we need the episode to end.
Yeah. And then he just walks up and, like, stabs her.
Yeah.
No, she explodes, and, like, none of the structural integrity of the tunnel is damaged or anything. They're all still fine.
Yeah, and they get out unscathed, and I was like, this doesn't seem very realistic. And then I was like, I need to check myself.
And aren't they, like, right below the police station?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I guess, you know, you can't be like, oh, yeah, it's fine that Ichabod Crane came back from being,
you know,
basically
the police station that all the witches are buried under.
Yeah. Yeah.
Show's dumb, but I like it.
You can't have selective disbelief in this show. Get on it.
Yeah, so we're into, like, debrief mode now.
Yeah. There was a lot. This episode seemed very dense and not as fun as the pilot.
Yeah, yeah. I hope it does settle into a pattern of, like, episodic murder mysteries with supernatural elements, because that's what I want from the show.
Absolutely. With your classic fish-out-of-water gags, always love them.
Yeah. So they talk about how Katrina's stuck between worlds and, like, oh no, gotta get her back. And then Abby's like, I want my old life back, but we can never go back, but we should take comfort in knowing that we're together. Then Abby opens Corbin's door and he's there.
Holy shit. She's like, whoa, you a ghost? And he's like, I'm here, aren't I? And she's like, yeah, right.
Probably a ghost.
Fair enough. Fair. That's a, yeah.
If you're going to haunt me, be helpful.
And he is.
He gives her, like, cryptic believe in yourself advice. And then we hear Ichabod's voice from on the screen where he's like, Lieutenant. And she looks back and the room is empty. Oh, he tells her, don't be afraid of number 49. And then the last bit of the episode is we see, like, in a medical facility, in room 49, Abby's sister is doing push-ups.
Oh, dang. I thought she was dead.
No.
I mean, I did, though. I don't know if I just assumed that from the first episode.
Right? Yeah, I think you did.
Yep. Well, you know, soz my goz.
So, like, a really rude nurse comes by and is like, hey, take your meds. You see any more monsters lately, you crazy person?
Yeah, it was a bit rude. But she somehow manages to not take her meds.
Yeah, even though the nurse checks her mouth and then she spits them out and crushes them on the floor and blows the dust away.
That nurse is dumb and didn't check under her tongue.
Yeah, didn't seem to be doing her job very thoroughly. Which we all know.
Yeah. Firstly, don't be mean to the people. And secondly, you got to check under their tongue. That's what I've learnt from Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yeah. So then she keeps working out. She does some chin-ups and then Moloch is behind her. But then she looks and he's not. And that's the end of the episode. Dun, dun.
Bum, 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 bum.
Such a sleepy hollow.
Yeah.
But I guess this little hollow isn't going to be so sleepy for much longer because of ghosts.
It's going to be wide awake with terror.
Just like me tonight after watching this episode.
Terror Pit is the new name.
I'm sorry, what?
The new name of the show is Terror Pit.
Oh, like Abaddon.
What?
In the Hebrew Bible, Abaddon is used with reference to a bottomless pit.
Oh.
Often appearing alongside the place Sheol, meaning Realm of the Dead.
Well, there you go.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, what are your thoughts on Sleepy Hollow?
Well, I didn't have a mystery envelope because there wasn't really a mystery.
There was not, and that was a bummer.
Yeah, I was hoping for... I am willing to... Let me just check the synopsis of next week's episode so we can see if it looks like there's a mystery. Because I enjoy it as a cop show with, like, dumb supernatural elements, but if it's not going to have as much of an... in the way of episodic plots, it might not be suitable for our purposes.
That's true. Because our purposes are just showing off how good we are at guessing.
Not quite, but, you
not
know,
guessing,
we like to
deducing.
Have an element of an element of mystery in the shows we watch.
That's literally essentially
in the name
in the
of
title.
Our show.
Yeah.
A psychoanalysis connected to the Mills sisters mysteriously commits suicide, and Crane and Abby Mills visit her sister at the institution.
Yeah, that sounds like a...
something we can work with.
Absolutely. If we can't envelope that, then it's out.
Yeah, let's give it one more shot.
I just really like enveloping. It's really fun.
I just want more in the way of, like, episodic plots.
Okay, that's fair.
So, yeah, I'm willing to give it one more week if you are.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
Leave that case file on your desk, but lock it in a drawer so other people can't read it, because that's how privacy works.
Hmm.
But don't archive it. Keep it to hand.
And also put a slip of paper in the very lip of that drawer so that if... someone opens that drawer and breaks into it, you can tell because the slip of paper won't be in place anymore.
Oh, I like it. That's good. This is not your first time hiding confidential information.
Did we get an email from friend of the show Byron Wheeler with a mystery of the week?
We did not, Byron. Lit your fucking game.
Byron?
Oh, I mean, unless we did and I just actually haven't checked the emails, which is also very possible.
A Byron walked into my office and he had legs from here to Albuquerque and he said, "I need your help." And what did he say next?
He said, "Regan, you should definitely add the Mystery Twins email address to the things you have on your phone."
And then he said, "Guys, I'm interested in helping this new people find the show. What can I do?"
Did he actually say that? That's kind of him.
Yeah.
Well, you can tell people with your mouth and your typing and your words. Write a letter. Write a letter to your nan. Be like, "Nan."
Write a letter to your congressman.
Yeah. No, don't do that. There's more important things they should be getting letters about. But you could tell a friend. Tell an enemy.
Rate and review us on iTunes.
You could tweet. You could send us a mystery of the week so that we have a more chance to be funny.
If you have any thoughts about how our first Teeves case file works, let us know, because we will try to improve on that if there are ways we could improve.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So tell people, subscribe, rate us on iTunes. Do a tweet, send us an email. That's just for us. That doesn't actually help new people because the email just goes to us unless you like BCC in your address book. And they're like, "What's
everyone.
This about?" And then you tell them.
Forward, 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 forward. Urgent. Listen to this podcast.
All right. So that mystery solved. That one is there all the ways that you can help us.
Case closed.
Boom. Great. Well, our theme music is In the Crown by The Years. Our Twitter is at MT Detective Agency. Our email is mysterytwinsda@gmail.com. And until next week, no yachts.
Hustle always wins.
We're not really twins.